Hey, I'm Maria Hedian, a former corporate professional turned CEO and fashion career educator. At 15, I decided I was going to be in the fashion industry and set out to find my path, no matter what that took. With zero industry context, I worked job after job, some of them completely unpaid, in order to find my way into this exclusive industry. Knowing the hardships of getting into the fashion industry firsthand, I took 20 plus years of personal experiences and turned them into tools to help you turn your passion into confidence and your dreams into reality. Join me each week as we discuss all of your career questions and identify behind-the-scenes industry strategies and techniques. Every episode is designed to help you take immediate action that will take your fashion career to the next level. Together, we will make your fashion career dreams a reality. This is Into the Fashion Industry. Well, hello there, my sweet friend. I'm officially coming to you live from the Netherlands. This is going to be my home away from home for the next several weeks, and I'm just so excited to still have the opportunity to create new episodes that can help you in your fashion career journey. You know, I think I'm in the very small minority when I say this, but I actually love flying. I love being on an airplane. There's something about the sound of the turbines that I find so soothing and that really puts me in a very reflective mindset. Now, on this particular trip, I flew just 2 days after my birthday, which meant I was all in my feelings. In recent weeks, I faced several challenges in my personal life, and it inspired me to create this episode. I wanted to provide insight into the reality of managing difficult situations while also navigating work commitments, specifically within the fast-paced and very demanding fashion industry. Now, this episode's a little different from what I normally share or create because it's pretty vulnerable. But my hope is that by sharing my experiences, I can offer valuable tips on coping with adversity while maintaining a professional mindset. There's a quote I recently heard by the incredible Patrice Washington that says, "You're not the first, you're not the last, you're not alone." It resonated with me so much because when we're going through tough things, it's so easy to feel completely alone, especially if you're like me and don't really know how to communicate your feelings or ask for help. Keep this quote in the back of your mind as we go through the episode and in your life as needed. It helped me tremendously in tough times, and I just know that it can help you too. Now, I don't talk about my personal life on here or on any of my socials much, or ever really. So you should know that I am the daughter of two incredibly supportive and loving parents and the older sister of a successful racing instructor brother. They are my lifeline, my support system, and everything in between. In October, we had a health scare with my mom that sent her to the hospital. I had just started working on a project with Bergdorf Goodman for their holiday activations and mentally had to divide my time between being the best at my job while also taking care of my mom. Then in January, an even bigger scare shook all of us to the core and sent my mom back to the hospital where she underwent surgery and a week-long hospital stay. This happened right in the middle of Fashion Week preparation. The day that she didn't feel well, I remember calling her an Uber during a virtual presentation my team was having with one of the designers we were working with that season. I remember being part of the presentation, sitting there, presenting, listening, taking notes, while also worried and looking at my phone to see where the Uber driver was, when he had picked her up, and how close they were to the doctor's office. Shortly after the presentation, I remember receiving a call from her doctor saying she needed to be brought to the ER for emergency surgery. I was working in New York City at the time. I was more than an hour away. I felt helpless and numb. To make matters worse, I suspected and to this day believe that medical negligence caused this emergency. So not only was I nervous, scared, and worried about my mom, I was filled with anger at the medical team that had caused my mother so much pain and at the healthcare system overall. The more I researched, the more people warned me fighting them would be expensive, time-consuming, but most of all, emotionally draining. A day before her surgery, we also got the news that my uncle in Italy, my dad's sister's husband, had passed away. I had some wonderful memories with him anytime I visited the country, and this broke me down even further. While my team was incredibly supportive, there was still so much work that had to be done as Fashion Week was quickly approaching. I also still had my own business to run. I had decided that I would launch my newly updated course, Fashion Career Blueprint, on March 1st, while the excitement of Fashion Week was still fresh, never imagining for a second that all of this would be happening at the same time. I'd make my mom breakfast and lunch in the mornings before leaving for the train. Then my hourly commute every morning and every night gave me the time to write out podcast episodes, emails for my community, social media, and blog posts. My day was spent going on site visits, working on things like insurance requests, and sourcing decor for Fashion Week. And then once home, I'd go spend time with my mom and make sure she was comfortable before continuing to work on my business until late hours in the night. In trying to take care of everything and everyone else around me, I never stopped to take care of me. And it's no wonder that as soon as Fashion Week ended, I got incredibly sick with a cold that took me out for almost a month. I didn't want my mental health or my cold to affect my launch, but it did. I didn't want it to affect my performance and my work during Fashion Week, but unfortunately, it did also. When you're working with larger venues during Fashion Week or any time really, there are some very specific requirements that you have to adhere to. These can include things like specific catering vendors, COIs, or certificates of insurance with very, very high specific amounts, or even exact lists of people that are allowed in various areas of the venue itself. I was in charge of two shows and a large pre-collection this past Fashion Week season, and I'll explain each of these quickly. To kick things off, the first show I was in charge of was more of a fashion presentation. The client was showing their fall-winter collection within their showroom space, so things weren't quite as challenging in the setup or breakdown process. The most challenging thing about this particular presentation were the hours. We got in the day before the show and were there until almost midnight, only to have to be back again at 4 a.m. the next day and stay there till 4 p.m., full 12-hour day. It was exhausting, but everything came out flawless, which is the most important thing, and the client was so happy. The very next day at 8 a.m. sharp, I had to be on site for what is known as a pre-collection, and in this case, it was taking place in Brooklyn. A pre-collection is basically when a designer and their team rents a specific space, and this could be within their showroom, within their offices, or a studio that's off-site. They rent this out for about a week or two, and this is where all the magic happens. Essentially, they bring all their product and they decide what's going to be walking the shows, what models will be walking the shows. So there are extensive and long days of casting where there's hundreds of models that come on site for casting calls to see which one is going to be walking the show. From there, they decide who's going to be wearing what. They fit it to all the models. They take all the pictures. They decide on music, on hair, on makeup. Everything gets decided and put together for the show at pre-collection. It's a very exciting thing to watch unfold, but it's exhausting, and it's very long days at a studio. In this case, I was there almost an entire week before the show was set to present. What this meant in my case was that I couldn't go to my office and work on one final show that I had after this. It gave me very limited time to work on it, but it also allowed me the opportunity to be present for this designer and anything he and his team would need in order to get pre-collection up and running. Now, this is just a really simple version of what happens in pre-collection because there are many different players, teams, people involved, many different things go on. But for the purposes of this episode, I wanted to keep it short and sweet. The final day of pre-collection before the show is always the most hectic, and this show was no exception. We actually stayed in the studio for a full 24 hours and then went straight to the show venue to continue working and making sure everything went flawlessly, which it did, making this a grand total of about maybe 45 or 46 hours of being awake. I know, it's Fashion Week. The final show that I was in charge of for this season was one that everyone on the team seemed to think would be the easier one, not because of the components, but because it was going to be showing at a venue that specializes in Fashion Week shows. This is where all the information I mentioned before comes into play. When it comes to larger venues that are very specific to Fashion Week, have these large requirements that need to absolutely be followed. This particular venue had very, very specific things that they required every single one of their clients, vendors, and anyone that was showing and coming into their space had to do, fill out, put together, provide information all before the show, and especially on the day of. On the day of the show, of course, as I'm trying to get to the venue, I'm calling Uber after Uber. Three of them canceled on me, making me about 10 minutes late. When I arrived at the venue, there was already a huge line of people waiting to get checked in. Guess who was holding the check-in lists? Now, these were not people that were attending the show just yet. These were everyone that was in the backstage area. That included hairstylists, makeup artists, nail artists. All of them were waiting to get in. To make matters even worse, I hadn't even taken off my coat yet when someone from the venue came up to me and specifically said that I hadn't provided a certificate of insurance for some people that were coming in as sponsors, and if they didn't have that in their hands, they would not be allowed to enter the venue. Now, this vendor required a very high insurance amount for anyone that was coming in. And so what this meant was that a COI was just not possible to be created or put together in just a matter of minutes. It would take 2 to 3 days. You can imagine the panic that was setting in, and I had just gotten there. The show, the day hadn't even started. To be fair, this venue did not mention that they needed a COI for these particular sponsors at any point throughout our conversation or the weeks that we had been dealing together. In hindsight, I did feel like this particular portion of it was a little less our fault and more on them. But regardless, we still had to scramble to get this done, as our client was imminent on arriving, as the models were coming in, as hair, makeup artists, nail stylists were all starting to set up their workstations. All of this was happening at the same time. To add the cherry on top of this already chaotic and crazy day, as I was scrambling to look for these insurance policies and requirements, it was brought to my attention that the catering hadn't arrived yet. When you're working with the backstage area of a fashion show, catering is very important and it's usually planned in advance because there's so many people that need to be included. You have to take into account all of the stylists, hair, makeup, nails, all of the models, casting, design, anyone that's there for dressing, anyone that's there from the design team itself. Usually it's about 120 to 150 plus backstage that need to be included within this catering order. Now, a quick note to add here. Anytime you are in charge of a show, as a production manager, as a producer, as a director, you create what's known as your show binder. Now, inside of this binder are all the documents and all the details, all the information that you would need on the spot should anything happen. So for example, in this particular case, I had a list and a breakdown of all the different production assistants and everyone that was on my team for the day, their email address and their phone number. This is important in case someone doesn't show up and you need to call them. On top of that, you want to make sure that you have all of the invoices printed out for everything that you've ordered, any rentals that you have, anything of the sort that you would potentially need to contact someone or have just a breakdown of the order with the order number in case there's any issues. You also need copies of insurance for everyone that's there, whatever the venue required and whatever each of the vendors required of you. Finally, you also want to make sure that you have a walkie sign-out sheet, because what ends up happening is if anyone mistakenly takes the walkies with them or does not return them or they get lost, you as a production company get invoiced for anything that's missing. So you always want to make sure that you're signing out walkies, you have this checkout list, and you know exactly where they are at all times. So as soon as I heard that catering had not arrived yet, the first thing I did was go into my show binder, look for the order, and call them to see what was going on. Not realizing at the very top of the page that it said that this order had not been paid for yet. Now, mind you, and I'm going to be very honest with you here, I think that this was a combination of a couple different things that created the perfect storm. The fact that I couldn't work at my office because I had to be somewhere else for pre-collection didn't help matters when it came to concentrating, really breaking down and being present within the office space and with the rest of my team. The fact that everyone considered the show to be easier because it was a turnkey space made it seem so that other shows had more attention to detail and more time that everyone took to talk about them and lay them out detail by detail. And finally, my mindset. I think, and I never wanted to say this to my team, but in hindsight, I'm human and I know that this was a part of it. My mindset at the time was divided in so many different ways. I had all of these things going on in my personal life, and I tried harder than anyone can ever try to make sure that my work was perfect. I am a perfectionist at heart, and everything I do, I like to make sure I do a good job, especially when it comes to my work as a freelancer, as a production manager, and when it comes to working for anyone else. And so all of these things together created the perfect storm, and this was something that was missed by my team, by myself, by everyone else that had access to these invoices. It ended up being that we never paid for and confirmed this order. Now, the catering company also never called to confirm, even though we had been in communication with them for weeks about creating the perfect menu. So what ended up happening was we had 36 very hungry models, about 100 people that were waiting on the food that is usually available in the backstage catering area, and two poor interns that had to run to the nearest shop and basically empty them out of sandwiches, salads, soups, coffee, and any pastries that they had. They did this for about 6 trips, back and forth, back and forth, and each time replenishing the food because it would go faster than it was placed down on the table. To say that this show was stressful is an understatement. After I dropped everything back off and made sure everything was left exactly the way we found it, once I got home, I broke down. This was the only show in the history of my profession where there had been very clear, specific mistakes that were made. Mistakes that I could have stopped, mistakes that I could have realized sooner, and ultimately mistakes that fell on me more so than on my team. I felt like a failure. I felt like I wasn't dependable. And I felt like I had taken all that was credible to my name and everything that I had done that season and just thrown it out the window. And I know that this might sound dramatic. And I know that my team probably didn't feel this way. It was hard to be kind to myself, to look at things the way that I can look at them now and say, you had a lot going on. You did your job. And actually, that last show went perfectly. It went smoothly. The designer was happy. The team was happy. The designer actually didn't even know everything that was going on behind the scenes because we were able to resolve absolutely everything without them knowing. And so it was much easier for me at the time to take the blame, to feel terrible about it, to put myself down over and over and over, and to just release all my pent-up frustrations and emotions by crying. But this experience taught me very important lessons that I wanted to share with you on this episode. I wanted to paint a full picture for you to see exactly what was going on in my life, in my mind, in my headspace, in my job, and everything put together because that is what real life is. It's never perfect. It's never all in sync and in harmony. There are always going to be things that pop up, maybe not as drastic or dramatic as some of these weeks were in my life, but there are going to be situations that take up or want to take up all of your mental space while you still need to do things, while you're still responsible for projects, for work, for teams, whatever it may be in your life and in your career. There are still things that are going to be happening in your personal life, and there has to be a way where you can separate the two, but most importantly, to take care of yourself so that you don't end up burnt out and break down the way that I did this past season. The first and most important thing you can do is practice self-care. Now, I know that this is said over and over and it's easier said than done, but it's crucial to take care of yourself, especially during times of stress. It can be anything, anything in your job, in your career, in your life as a student, as a professional, as a freelancer. There are things that cause us stress. It doesn't matter what level we are or how much experience we have. So it's important to make sure that you take certain actions that are going to bring you a little bit more peace, whether it's for your mind, for your body overall, and for your health. So make sure that you're taking breaks when you need them. Make sure you're practicing mindfulness and you're prioritizing sleep. I know that this is hard to do when it's things like Fashion Week, when it's things that give you specific starting times that could be crazy or ending times that could be crazy, but you have to try to sleep as much as you can. Try to get yourself good nutrition, some exercise, basically all the things that you need on a day-to-day basis that keep you healthy. Try to keep doing these even if you're stressed, even if it seems like there's no point in doing it, or even if it seems like you have time. Self-care is not selfish. Listen to that again. Self-care is not selfish. What it is a complete necessity because it's going to help you maintain your mental and your physical health, which is going to stop you from getting sick, from getting burnt out, and most importantly, from breaking down. I learned this the hard way. I did none of the above, and what ended up happening was that my whole entire body, mind, heart, and soul shut down. It shut down completely after Fashion Week. And so this is exactly what I want to help you avoid with any of the projects or things you have going on in your career. Now, this next one is actually really important. So if you are listening to me and doing something else, come back over to me for just a second because it's something that I need to say on here too. And it's a big lesson that I learned after this season. And that's finding your voice to set boundaries. Now, I know that many of you that are listening might be beginners and might feel like you don't necessarily have a voice or have a right to have a voice just yet because you are just starting out. But the bottom line is this: we are all professionals. We are all working for someone or doing projects, and we're trying to grow as professionals, within the industry. We're trying to make a name for ourselves. We're trying to get that first job, maybe that first experience, but we're still people when it comes down to it. If you have a question, if you see that there's something that you need in order to get something done, speak up. You can do it in a very professional way. This message specifically, and most importantly, goes out to all of you freelancers that are listening. As a freelancer, you're your own boss, you're your own company, you're your own entity. And you, at the end of the day, are not a part of the company that has hired you. And so you have to do the things you need to do or say the things that you need to say in order to get those things done that's going to help you get closer, if not complete the goal, the task that you were assigned and hired to do. In my case, I didn't speak up about the time that I needed to be in an office instead of being at a studio for hours and hours at a time. I didn't speak up about what I needed in terms of this last show, the attention that the show required. There were no specific reasons as to why I didn't, but I should have. And that's one of the biggest key takeaways that I have. But as a professional speaking to other professionals and aspiring professionals, my biggest takeaway for you is this: learn to have a voice. Learn to recognize when you need something in order to get the job that you're doing done and done well. This doesn't mean that every single job you're given and every single project you have to complain about or you have to ask for certain things. But it does mean that if there is something that your boss is not seeing, that the person that has hired you is not seeing, because a lot of times they're not in the trenches with you. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what you need. And it could be a simple ask or it could be a simple sentence saying, you know what, doing it this way or having this tool, having this time, having this space would allow for this project to be completed in a more cost and time efficient way. It's all how you word it. But at the end of the day, it's setting boundaries and finding a voice for yourself when you need to, when you need to advocate for yourself, for your time, for your business, for anything that falls into that category. This is the lesson: setting boundaries and finding your voice. The next lesson I learned was to focus on the things that you can control. Now, it's hard. It's hard to do things when you have so many things that are weighing you down in your personal life and in your mindset that are taking over that space, and most importantly, that peace of mind. It's easy to get caught up in what's going wrong in your personal life, but it's really necessary to focus on the things you can control. For example, during the time where my mom was in the hospital and I felt like I needed to be by her side at all times, but I had to go into the office, I would make lists for myself. Lists of things that I would need to do with her, lists of things that I would need to do at work. What are the things that are out of my hands to do? And what are the things that I could do? What are the times that I could do them in? Giving myself this list, for example, saying to myself, okay, at this time, I know my mom takes her medicine and someone should be in there giving her that medicine. So I would make a note to call her at that time, check up on how she was doing and ask if she had the medicine. Because if not, then we can get the nurse over to her. In this case, I wasn't caught up in the fact that my mom was in the hospital and I couldn't do anything about it. Instead, what would I do if I was there with her? I would be making sure that her medication was coming in at the right time. And if not, I would call a nurse. These are all things I would have done anyway if I was there. The difference is now it felt like I was a part of her day. It felt like I was helping her and I was still at work doing my job. So it was just one small thing that helped my mental health. And it was something that I could control versus the overall situation and problem that was out of my hands. Do this with personal things and with work things. Sometimes it's a little harder. Maybe you don't have access to a phone. Maybe the situation's different. There's always a way to focus on things that you can control and maybe turning them around to make them something that you can control, even just a little bit, so that you feel like everything is not out of your hands, which is when you start to feel hopeless and you start to kind of lose control of everything. Now, this last one's a big one, especially for me. Find yourself a support system and learn how to ask for help. The biggest thing that I learned from this that humbled me the most and that makes me cry, that might make me cry even now, is realizing how many people I had around me that were willing to help me, that were willing to stop whatever they were doing and to say, yeah, I'll take your mom here, or I'll go with her to the doctor's appointment. You don't have to do it by yourself. And unfortunately, the person that I am, I do think that I have to do everything on my own. I never stop to consider who I can ask for help because I don't like asking for help. I don't like being a burden. And that, I know, is something that a lot of you feel as well. And that's the first thing that this entire experience taught me, was that I have to change that mentality, because we're not alone. Reach out to friends, reach out to family, mental health professionals, anyone around you that can support you. Talking about your struggles can help you gain perspective, and overall, it's going to help you feel a little bit more grounded. And during the time when things are crazy, when your work is crazy, when your personal life is crazy, what you need to look for are ways to help keep yourself grounded, keep yourself sane, and in this case, feel supported by people around you. Trust me, it's going to help you. It's going to help you through this process, and it's going to help you so that your body doesn't break down, your mind doesn't break down, and you're able to move forward and be not only a support for the people in your personal life that might be going through something, but also a strong professional, a stronger professional than if you fell apart completely and then you couldn't be there for anybody. In the end, being an efficient professional is not about not having any personal issues or being focused on work all the time. Just the same as resilience is not about never falling down. In the end, what it is about is getting back up every single time that we do. When you face adversity, when you face personal issues and things that get into your mental headspace while you should be doing other projects and while you're working, remember that every single setback is a chance to bounce back even stronger. It's an opportunity to learn lessons that are going to make you a stronger professional, that are going to make you someone that for the next time around, you'll realize the things that you can do to help yourself, the things that you can do to make things around you a little bit easier to handle, and the things you can do to keep yourself healthy and sane. It's going to help you be more determined than before. I want you to remember something. Our struggles, whether personal or professional, do not define us. It's our response to them that does. When you're facing difficult times, it's really important to remember that you, my sweet friend, have the power to choose how you react and how you move forward. I warned you that this episode would be much different than all the others I've made so far. If you found this helpful, if you know someone that can use these words of inspiration in their life and in their career, I'd love for you to share it with them. Additionally, if you've been through something, whether it's been recent, whether it's happened in your professional career, and there's been a moment where you've learned a lesson, where you've had a tough time, and you were able to pull through it, I'd love to hear about it. Send me a DM on Instagram, write on my blog posts, reach out. I would personally love to hear every single one of your stories. Let me know what you've been through, how you overcame it, and the lessons that you learned. And if you're currently going through something, my heart is with you. And if I can be a source of support, of knowledge, of information, please feel free to reach out to me. I am always here to support you on your fashion career journey. Bye for now.